All right. Tonight we're going to be looking at what do you do when you have a shipwreck in your life. And everybody's going to have a shipwreck. Take it to the bank. So surviving a shipwreck. The 27th chapter of the book of Acts is an exciting chapter. A lot of people say, you know, the Bible is not very exciting when you read it. But when you read the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, you're going to see that it's quite exciting because it's about a storm at sea. And when you read that 27th chapter, I don't know about you, but I can almost smell the salt in the air. It's quite a big storm, quite an extreme storm, and it's history. It tells us what actually happened to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, because of preaching the gospel, whether you know it or not, at the time that the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, the Roman Empire was ruling in Israel, and the Roman Emperor claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Son of God because his father, this is the Emperor Caesar that was in charge right at the time of Christ, his father was the first God in the family, so his father was the first God and he was the second. And so when you said that Jesus Christ is God and you taught that, you were teaching against the clear teaching of the empire. So Paul got arrested. He was put on a ship, and he was heading for Rome to stand trial. So the entire chapter is a detail not just of a shipwreck, but a warning for us. When the Lord takes the whole chapter to tell a story, there's more to it than just the story. Because you and I also are on a vessel today that's heading for shipwreck. Whether you know it or not, this whole earth is heading for shipwreck. We don't know just when it's going to happen. We know that it's got another 1,000 years because if the Lord were to come to the clouds tonight and take every Christian off this earth, then there's 7 years of tribulation, we know from the book of Revelation, and then there's 1,000 years of the reign of Christ on this earth, and then he's going to destroy this earth. So we are on a ship heading for eternity, and we are going to have a shipwreck sooner or later. May not happen in our lifetime on this earth, but it is going to happen. So in Acts chapter 27, I want to read verse 9, and we're going to start there. It says, "Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was the day after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, 'Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also.' But the centurion, instead of listening to Paul, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This is a harbor in Crete, facing both southward and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along." So sometimes in life, the storm catches you, and you don't get a chance to respond. You're just driven by the storm. When those things happen, what do we do? In Acts chapter 27, verse 9, again, it says, "Much time had been lost. They were waiting to move, thinking the weather was going to be against them. They were getting anxious to go. When much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous, because now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, 'Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. When the weather changes, there are certain things you don't do.'" In other words, right now, how many would like to go out on the bay ice fishing? The weather has changed, hasn't it? It's dangerous. I had a friend at work. This is back 10, 12 years ago. Maybe somebody knows Frank Damick. He lived in St. Charles. His boy warned him. His son was a grown man. And he said, "Dad, don't go ice fishing. It's very dangerous." And Frank was a pretty strong-willed fellow, and he laughed at his son and said, "I know what I'm doing." Well, he went out on the ice and he fell through, him and another guy. They both got out of the water, started walking again, and fell through again, and they didn't get out that time. There are certain things that you have to understand. When weather changes, you have to adjust. And if you don't adjust, you're going to make shipwreck. It says in Acts 27:11, but the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. The centurion believed the master of the ship more than a word spoken by somebody who claimed to be a spokesman for God. The apostle Paul was an apostle. He was inspired by God to warn them. But how many people do you know that are not Christian that believe the Bible is really the word of God? You can show somebody a verse and they say, what is that? Doesn't mean a thing. The apostle Paul, just because he was an apostle, wasn't believed by the unbelievers. And so Paul's word went flat. Who do you trust when you've got the word of God telling you one thing, but the experts in this world tell you a different thing? Who do you listen to? We got to be careful with this, because there are many people that are doing many, many things, even Christians, making decisions in life because this is what the experts are saying, even when it's contrary to the word of God. I'll just give you one example. The experts say life doesn't start until somebody's born. What does the Bible say about that? The Bible says John the Baptist at 6 months in his mother's womb, the Bible says the baby leapt in her womb when he heard Mary. He called it a baby at 6 months gestation. So the experts are saying, no, that's not a baby. That's just a blob of flesh. Have you seen the pictures that they take, sonograms, and the baby has fingers, ears, nose, toes? That's not a blob of flesh. That's a baby. And the experts are wrong. We have to be careful, because we live as twice-born people in a world full of once-born people. And they will lead you astray. If you aren't careful, you'll be listening to the experts and living your life according to what the experts say instead of living your life according to what God says. And every time we do that, you can be looking for shipwreck. So number one, your ship is going to sink when you're led by compulsion. These people got anxious. They knew the weather was going to get far worse pretty quick. They didn't know exactly when it was going to happen. But when you went past that feast time, it was the time on the Mediterranean Sea when huge storms came. They knew it was coming, just didn't know when. But they didn't want to stay where they were, so they felt compelled to move. When you lead your life by compulsion, now there's a difference between God compelling you to do something and your own flesh or Satan compelling you to do something. Be very careful when you don't have any choice in life but to move. Some people's thought in life is, if I don't make a decision pretty soon, life's going to pass me by. We as Christians have to learn how to wait on the Lord. When he gives us direction, you'll have peace in your heart about the decision you're making. Be careful of making a decision that you don't have peace about, because it will lead you to shipwreck. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. We need to be those who hope and wait on the Lord. If you run ahead of them, it's like a little child. You're going down the sidewalk with your little one, and you're coming to the crossroad, and he takes off. What might happen? You might get hit by a car. When we run ahead of the Lord and we don't wait on him, we're in danger. Even as adults, you know, one of the things we try to teach our children is how to grow up to make independent decisions. God teaches his children never to make independent decisions, but to wait on him, to pray about the right decision. And so we got two different things going on. Humanly speaking, we want to see our children grow up where they can make their own decisions. But spiritually speaking, we want to see our children grow up where they're constantly seeking the Lord's guidance in life. If you ignore it, you're going to head for trouble. The second thing to guarantee a shipwreck is living by consultation. In other words, instead of listening to what God is saying, you're going to consult the experts. And that's exactly what they did here. Paul said in verse 10, "Sirs, I perceive this voice is going to be with much hurt and damage, not only to the lading and the ship, but also to our lives." But the captain, instead of listening to Paul, took a consultation with all the people there, and especially the head of the ship. He followed his advice instead of the word of God given by the man of God. Be careful with that. This man has to make a decision, so what's the basis of the decision? Are you going to make your decisions based on what the experts say? You're heading for trouble. We just went through that, didn't we? The experts said what? When the plague first started here 2.5 years ago, Mr. Busey, whatever his name is, he said wearing a mask does absolutely no good. That's what he said at first. A few weeks passed. You need to wear a mask. A few months passed, you need to wear 2 masks. A year went by, and he said 3 masks. Folks, did the masks do any good? They didn't help a thing. Did keeping the children home from schools do any good? Didn't make a bit of difference. But we're suffering, shutting all the businesses down. Was that a good idea? It destroyed a lot of small businesses. Some of the restaurants are never going to open again. So when we start consulting with the experts to live our lives, beware, because it can lead to shipwreck. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, we find quite a warning here. This is what the Lord says. "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws his strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They'll not see prosperity when it comes. They'll dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." And so what the Lord wants us to realize is, if you're going to run your life by listening to men, men are going to tell you what the best choices in life are, you're going to live with shipwreck all the time. We need to constantly go to our God to find guidance for our lives. So the third thing in Acts chapter 27, verse 12. "Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. There was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest." It was the place they were, the harbor they were in, was not a comfortable place to spend the winter. They knew winter was coming. They were going to stay on that ship until spring. Do you want to stay in a place that's not comfortable? I'm going to tell you, most of us don't. We're constantly seeking comfort. I want to tell you, the Lord said that if you seek comfort, you're going to make shipwreck. Walking with him sometimes can be a very uncomfortable thing to do. We talked about wanting to be comfortable, wanting to have things easy in life. We talked about abortion just a minute ago. Do you know what percent of abortions are actually done because the baby is really, really ill and not going to be born normal, or the mother's life is in jeopardy because of the birth? You know what that percent is? It's less than 1%. Less than 1%. So 99% of the decisions to abort the baby is for what? It's for comfort. It's what's easy for us right now. Folks, that's not going to be good on Judgment Day. I would not want to be a doctor doing that. I would not want to be a woman or a man making those decisions, because a lot of times it's not the woman. It's the man that's pushing the woman to get the abortion. Why? Because he doesn't want to pay for that baby for 18 years. Had a lot of fun with you, but I'm not supporting your kid. Get an abortion. And the poor woman goes along because she can't support it alone. So it's a convenience thing. When comfort is the most important thing in your life, when you're deciding things just on what's most easy for you, you're heading for shipwreck. And that's the decision they made. We don't want to spend the winter here. So we're going to do what's comfortable. We're going to head for a different port where it'll be nice. The fourth way to sink your ship is found in, again, Acts 27, verse 12. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. If you're following the majority, do you know the majority is almost always wrong? Folks, this is so important. The majority will lead you to destruction. The Lord said that in Matthew 7, verse 13, he said, Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. We need to be those that understand that the broad way leads to what? The broad way leads to destruction. And many there go in thereat. If you're going to follow the majority of decision, just because the majority of people think this is a good decision, you can almost be assured you're going to make shipwreck 99% of the time. Because 99% of the time, the majority of the people are going the wrong way. It's very few people that will trust the Lord and go his way. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. We can be deceived by circumstances. We can be deceived by the majority decision. We can be deceived by what's comfortable. We need to be those people that live our lives in a different way, because shipwreck has a huge cost. And that's the next thing the Lord's going to bring out for us tonight. When we choose to live our lives by compulsion, consultation with the majority, living for the immediate comfort and consensus of the crowd, every time you're going to hit shipwreck. In Acts chapter 27, verse 13, it says, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. Sometimes everything just lines up and you say, there's my opening. I can do what I've wanted to do. Be careful, because that's a setup. It says, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. I don't know if you've ever been in your life where you've been driven along and you couldn't change course. I've never been on the ocean in a huge storm. I went to church over to Trinity. Max Vincent, he was in the Second World War. And he told me a story one time. They were on the ship heading over to Europe, and they hit a hurricane force storm. He said he was almost positive. He couldn't be positive. But he said he thought when he came over one of those waves, he could actually see the bottom of the ocean. The waves were that big. Now, probably not. But I've never been. We were on a little windy storm. We took a cruise one time, and it was bumpy, you know, in a big cruise ship. It was still bumpy. Mimi was scared, but it wasn't that bad. But I can't imagine being out in the middle of the ocean in a hurricane. Hurricanes are bad enough on the shore, but being in a ship like that, extremely, extremely dangerous. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. In your life, have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't change course? You were being driven by the decisions you already made, and it was too late to change course. You had to ride it out. That's where these people are. In verse 20, it says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Folks, that's not a good situation to find yourself in, losing all hope of ever being saved. The prophet Jeremiah said many years ago in Jeremiah 10:23, he said, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. But what do we teach our children? You've got to learn to make your own decisions. No, you've got to learn to listen to the Lord and live life His way. You need to learn how to look to the Lord constantly, because it's not in man that lives to direct his own life. God has told us that over and over and over in His Word. So the first thing they do when they get caught in this storm is they wander. In Acts 27, verse 15 again, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Coda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard, then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they'd run aground on the sandbars of Sistrus. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. What that means is literally they went to work. We want the easy way. Remember, we don't want to stay in this port. It'll be cold. So for comfort's sake, we're going to move here. We're going to go to a nicer port. When you direct your own steps, don't be surprised. You get in a storm and you think it's going to be easier doing what we're doing, but it's going to get much harder. It says they made some cables, out of ropes at that time. They ran those around under the ship, up the other side, and tied them together for what reason? Believe it or not, to hold the ship together. This ship is starting to break apart. They don't have any other choice. The only hope they have is that their hard work will make a difference. Now, I want to tell you, who's on the top deck doing all this? Everybody on that ship. It didn't matter if you were Madam Jules. You had all the money in the world. When your ship's going down, you're going to work. Don't matter how rich you are, what you've got. They're all up there working hard. Our Lord Jesus told us if we will trust Him, if we'll do life His way, it's going to be a whole lot easier. In Proverbs 13:15, it says, good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. Folks, that's so important. What He's warning us, each and every one of us, is you can do it your way if you want to, but it's going to lead to destruction. Or you can do it my way, and it'll lead to eternal life. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can do it your way and have all kinds of trouble in your life, or you can decide, I'm going to live my life for God's glory. I'm going to live my life God's way, and you'll have a much better life. I'm not telling you you're not going to have trouble, because Jesus said in this world, you are going to have trouble. None of us get through this life without some pretty good-sized storms. But the storms that God allows in our lives is for our good. The storms that we run into when we don't walk with God, Satan means to destroy us. Shipwreck brings waste. As we follow the story, we find them doing something very interesting. It says in Acts 27, verse 18, "We took such a violent battering from the storm, the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands." What does that mean? That means everything on board that ship, the whole reason for the trip was to take cargo someplace to make some money. All of it went into the ocean. The tackle of the ship is how you control the ship. They lost all hope. They had to throw that over too because the ship's going to sink. It's heavy. Folks, in your life, you're going to find that if you live your life your own way, you're going to lose everything on board. Sooner or later, you're going to lose it all. And we don't want to live that way. They rejected the word of God and followed their own path. They thought they were going to get gain, but they got lost. And the Lord says in Mark 8, verse 36, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can one give in exchange for their soul?" I want to tell you, people are given very little for their soul today. They'll trade their soul for almost anything. And it's a shame what's going on. They're throwing all the stuff overboard because they thought they made a good choice. I can't tell you how many people I know that long to be rich. They would do almost anything to get rich. And so they follow paths that are not God's paths for their lives, thinking they're going to get rich. What does the Lord tell us about following that path? In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, with that we'll be content." Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We need to be careful of that, because this world constantly calls out to us, "Man, if you just had this car, if you had that house, boy, then you'd be happy." But what do we find is truth? Last week, believe it or not, a billionaire, we're not talking a millionaire, we're talking a billionaire, committed suicide because the economy turned against him and he lost a lot of money. He probably only had 10 or 20 million left. I mean, what's the use of living if you only got 10 or 20 million? Folks, you can get so caught up with the things of this world that you literally trade your soul. You can't be happy with anything other than being the most important, the richest. It'll destroy you. We need to be careful. So, the wishes and schemes of shipwrecks in our lives. In Acts chapter 27, verse 29, "Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight." Unsaved people have all kinds of hope. Things are going to be better if we can just get the light on the situation. But if you're in the middle of a hurricane, what good is the light going to do you? It's still going to drive you along. You're still not going to be in control. You need the light of God, not the light of the sun. And so in verse 30 now of Acts 27, "In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.' So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away." That lifeboat is their last chance. But finally, with all the destruction, all the problems, finally they come to faith in what Paul says. If they just would have listened in the beginning, and we do the same thing as Christians. We know what the Lord says, but Nevertheless, we're going to try something a little different here. We think this is what we need. And we wind up in shipwreck and we wonder why. It's because we do not listen to or obey our God. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. So the sailors say, we're going to take the lifeboat and we're going to just go a little ways from the ship or we're going to drop some anchors. Actually, what they were going to do is go to that island and get away from the ship because the ship's going down. Paul says, if they go, we're all going to be lost. Now comes faith. They finally catch on. It says in Acts 27, verse 21, after they had gone a long time without food, I don't know if you realize this, but when you're on the ocean and it's going like this, what happens to your stomach? It does the same thing. It goes just like that. After a long abstinence without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it'll happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. And so 14 nights of being in this huge storm, finally they're coming to some land. So what I want you to see is what God did for the old Apostle Paul. He not only saved his life, but all those who sailed with him. I believe, if I recall the story, there were 127 people on that ship. One person, probably, voted not to sail, Paul. Everybody else probably voted to sail. They made shipwreck because of it. So when a sinking ship goes down, all on board usually go down with it. But God is gracious because the Apostle Paul had to go to see Caesar. The Lord told him he was going to go there. When the Lord tells you something, you can take it to the bank. Paul never had to worry about drowning in the sea because at an appointment based with God. And when God tells you you're going someplace, guess what? You're going someplace. Doesn't matter what other things come into life. Our Lord Jesus told Paul not to be afraid through the angel. Do you know 365 times in the Word of God? It says, be not afraid. That's one for every single day. The night Jesus was going to die the next day, he said in John 14, 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're going to go through some storms in this life, whether you're walking with the Lord or you're not. But if you're walking with the Lord, you know the end of the story. I really did this as a boy. I used to go up on the corner. I sold fruit for my family. They picked the fruit, the corn, the melons, and all that. And I was up on the corner selling it because I was the youngest, and the other guys could work harder and carry bigger stuff. So I'm up on the corner selling stuff. As I would wait for a customer to come, I would be reading books and waiting for the next customer. And I learned so much doing that I just forgot what I was going to say. That's the truth. I had a point, but the point's gone. In Isaiah 33, verse 6, and this is a verse I would advise you to memorize. I don't know how good you are at memorizing, but if you can memorize any verse, this one will help you. He will be talking about Jesus Christ. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And now is the key to the treasure. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. When you gain a reverential awe for God, when you say, my God knows more than all the experts, my God knows more than all the other people around me, I'm going to live my life under God's leadership. It's going to bless your life. It's going to bless all those around you. Whether others choose to live by compulsion or choose to trust consultation of man or choose to live by their own comfort or they choose to see what the majority think, you're going to be able to live your life under God's leadership, trusting his word, and you're going to go through the storms, but you're going to come out just fine. I remember what it was. The story. When I would read a book, I'd get real tense about my hero in the comic book, or not the comic book, but the book, Reader's Digest primarily. My cowboy guy, who was my hero, he was really in danger. Black Bart was about to shoot him. I would immediately skip to the end of the book to find out what happened. And then I would go back in the book and say, Black Bart, you wouldn't be so smart if you knew what I knew. We have the end of the book, don't we? I know how this is going to wind up. I'm going to be just fine. Storms are going to come, but if I keep trusting my Lord, I'm going to be just fine.